Have your Bibles tonight, if you'd open the Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Begin studying this out. There's a lot out there of who actually is the author of Ecclesiastes. You can get to studying that out. There's a lot of stuff out there, but as for me personally, church, I believe that Solomon was the author of this, and I believe that because of the first chapter and the first verse. I don't have to go any further than that. Chapter 11, we'll read two verses. Verse 9. Let me do something here. Granny, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Granny couldn't hear me the last time. Because I stayed right down there most of the time. She couldn't hear me. I said, she's going to beam a sound check tonight. Amen. Chapter 11, verse 9. The Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." I believe Solomon writing here is toward the end of his life, and I believe he's reflecting back on some things. And quite honestly, I believe he, with all the wisdom, liberal wisdom that God gave him, he's thinking back and wishing how he could have applied that wisdom on other things that would have been more benefit for the glory of God. And I want you to look first of all in this verse 9, and I'll get to just 4 points. In this verse 9 here, Solomon, when he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth." Well, certainly, our youth should be a very happy and a joyful time for us. But a lot aren't, sad to say. "And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." But then there's a punctuation mark, and that's a colon. And I looked that up in Webster's Dictionary, and that colon, and just how imperative that little punctuation mark is. And it means for us to draw our attention to what's fixing to follow. And the Bible says after that, "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow." And if you begin to run references and translate that word sorrow, it can be translated in the word quite simply anger. So he's saying, remove all that anger from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Vanity being the word of vain, which simply means emptiness. It's just empty. Now, certainly I'm not saying tonight that our childhood and our youth is supposed to be empty. We should want our youth and our youngins to grow up and our grand youngins to have a happy and a joyful childhood. But listen to me tonight. Solomon's saying, when you become a young person, a young adult at a certain age, when you come to that age of accountability, there's a point there when you're going to be accountable for your actions. Amen? And he's trying to warn us that would read this. And he's telling us to put away this anger and bitterness from us, and the evil from us, and that our childhood and youth are going to be quickly and swiftly passing away. So as an introduction there, I want to give you an illustration. There's a chocolate bunny. Now, don't nobody heal me up over this in Easter, but there's a chocolate bunny. I need to give you this for an illustration. And it's lying in a basket, and it's got that green grass in it. And there's a little young'un that gets up on a Sunday morning, Easter morning, and it comes in there and it's excited, and it sees that basket, And it goes over there to that basket, and it looks down there, and there's a big old chocolate bunny in that basket. And it reaches down, and it picks that chocolate bunny up, and it unwraps it, and it takes it a big old bite, y'all, out of one of them big old long chocolate ears. And boy, guess what? That bunny tastes so good. It's just got the sweetest taste to it. But something happens. Just as soon as it bites into that chocolate bunny, that sweet taste just quickly fades away. And that child, quite bewildered, looks down at that chocolate bunny, and guess what? That chocolate bunny is hollow. Now what does that youngin' have to do again to get that sweet bite or that sweet taste again? Has to take another bite. I've entitled this message, Just One Bite. Just One Bite. See, that youngin', when it took a bite of that chocolate bunny and it hollow on the inside, it had to take another bite. And then it had to take another bite. Sin is the same way, y'all. It just one bite is all. And certainly we can go over there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, and I can show you there, we all know the story where Satan, the most subtle and conniving one, how he tempts Eve, and Eve took a bite. I said Eve took a bite, and then Adam took a bite. A lot of times we say Adam and Eve. The Bible says, look it up, the Bible says Eve and then Adam. And so with that one bite, just one bite, here came sin. Fellowship was separated. It was broken. And praise God for a Savior and a plan of redemption and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it began with just one bite. And that's the way sin is. It begins with just one bite. And it also begins, can I say this, church? If you're saved or if you're lost, He's still trying to get you to take just one bite. He never quits just because you're saved trying to dangle something in front of you and get you He wants you to take a bite. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we're immune. So it began in the garden with just taking one bite. Now, the Lord gave me T's, so I put that one, point number one, taking a bite. Simply taking a bite. Just one bite. Number two, He gave me the word testimony. Now everybody probably has a testimony. If you're saved, you have a testimony. Amen. But testimony, what it means, is an evidence or eyewitness. It's an open acknowledgement, or it's a public profession of a religious experience. So if you're saved tonight, you have a testimony. And Lord, begin dealing with me about this testimony. Now, Brother Bobby, you know, these people, we'll stand up, we'll testify. Brother Bobby, a lot of times, he just says, I just want to praise God because God's God. Amen? Amen? That's a good testimony. But here's my earnest burden, my earnest prayer for every single one of you sitting here. There's a girl, that oldest girl, I think Chrissy's her name. Am I right, Janine? The oldest one of the Fortune family. And out of all them youngins, and she's got a testimony. And here's her testimony, y'all. I have had sex. I'm pure. I've not smoked cigarettes. I've not put a drug, illegal substance in my body. Alcohol's never entered my system. That's a testimony, amen? Besides the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ saved her old wretched soul. Now that's the testimony that I'd like for every single young people, not even youngs, but ones out here to have. That's a good testimony to have. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Somebody amen me. That's a good testimony to have tonight. That you never partook, that you never had one bite of that stuff. That's a testimony. It's a testimony that Satan's trying to steal from our young people. You just buckle in and hold up. Or hold on, because I'm just about to get into some preaching now. You say, preacher, I thank the Lord that He's privileged me and my family to be in this church with so many godly people. And I say godly people, people that are older than myself that I look up to, that set an example by their faithfulness. Amen. Well, I look up to them, Miss Anita. But understand this.
but a burden. God's begin stirring in me. I mean, He's stirring in me hard for the last couple of weeks that there is a generation today in 2008 between about the age of 15 and 25 that we are losing. We're losing them. And here's what our the way we're thinking about it. Well, my youngin's saved, so it's okay. My grand youngin's saved, so it's okay. It is not okay. It is not okay. What am I doing? What are we doing? What is the church doing to reach young people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we doing? I hold the church accountable as well as myself for us not having a burden to reach young people. That's hard preaching. Sure won't give me no votes, but the Lord laid this on my heart and I'm going to preach it. You say, why do you have such a burden? Because between 15 and 25, that generation right there, that's the ages He gave me. If we do not claim and reach this group, by the time I am 60 or 70 years old, if the Lord tarries and lets this world go on, what kind of shape is this world going to be in? I mean, what's going to happen to the church? And I'm not talking, Brother Bobby, I'm not talking about balloons and parties and all this worldly stuff to get them in. I'm just talking about telling them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will work. I mean, I'm not interested tonight. If there's a one of you under the sound of my voice that ain't saved tonight, I pray God will convict you. The Holy Ghost will convict you because you will not get saved just when you want to. And I got Bible to prove that. But I am not interested tonight in just some simple repeat after me prayer, profession of faith that you're going to go through your whole life thinking you're saved, and then it comes down to it, you ain't saved. You get the real stuff when the Holy Ghost moves in and takes up residence. You won't have to doubt it, amen? Say, preacher, why do you have such a burden for these young people? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because of the facts. The facts. And I'm going to share some of them with you. The facts. Every single day in our beloved United States of America. And may I remind you that Avery, Mitchell, and Yancey County is in the United States of America. We're not immune. Every day in America, 2,989 children, almost 3,000 children every day in America, witness the divorce of their parents. Now I realize fully tonight that sometimes there are circumstances that people, for whatever reason, they can't reconcile, they can't make a marriage work, and they get a decree of divorce. But I can tell you right now, that ain't God's plan. Divorce ain't God's plan. I mean, His is the sanctity of marriage, a man and a woman. Joined in love, amen? But every day, 3,000 youngins witness their parents getting divorced in America. Every day in America, 3,288 teenagers, 13 to 19, they're going to run away from home. Do you reckon that first statistic had anything to do with them running away from home? Now let me ask you a question. God began to tell me, where are they going to run to? I said, Shay, where are they going to run to? Where are they going to run to? And when they do run, who's going to take them in? Is the church going to take them in? Or is the world going to take them in? I guarantee you Satan's going to be out there wanting to take them in, grab a hold of them. Every day in America, every single day, 6 teenagers will commit suicide. Now that broke my heart. If that does not touch you, that every day in America, once every 4 hours, a young'un takes their life, then your heart's hard. Your heart's hard. They take their life. I mean, I'm talking, they're at their rope's end. They got their whole life ahead of them, and they cannot see any way out. They see no hope. They see no love. They don't see nobody reaching out to them. So what do? And Satan is over here on the sideline cheering them on. Yeah, go ahead. Just end it. You don't tell you why, young people. He's over there cheering. You don't know why? Satan's over here cheering. You want me to tell you why? He's cheering, saying, go ahead. There ain't no hope for you. Go ahead, kill yourself. Because if they ain't saved, you know where they're going to go? You look at me, they're going to go to hell. Now this little country preacher put it right to you. They'll go to hell. And it's forever. It's eternity. Every single day in America, 438 teenagers will be arrested for drinking. Now that shouldn't surprise us too awfully much. Brother Calvin, bless your son-in-law's heart for the burden he has. But hey, it's all right. It'll improve our economy if we get alcohol in Spruce Pine. After all, it's just in the city limits, and it doesn't affect me. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. Amen? What good did anybody ever see come out of alcohol? In a person's life? In a family life? All it does is destroy. Eat up your liver. You can't drive. You make irrational decisions. It's an addiction, a disease. What could ever come out of alcohol? Hey, man, brother. Every day in America, 211 teenagers will be arrested for drug-related crimes. You say, well, surely not here in little old Spruce Pine, yeah? I'll tell you something. You ask some of these young people that's in high school, just ask them what goes on. Right here in our schools, in our public school system, ask them what they go through, what they see. I'm like Brother Darren. The drug problem that we need, just like you said in revival, is being drugged to church, amen? That'll help us. Too many times, I hate to pick on my young'un, but you ask my young'un. My young'un don't ask me, Daddy, can I stay home? My young'un don't ask me. She knows better. When the doors of the church is open, we're going to be there, amen? And if I ain't here, you can guarantee you I'm somewhere to preaching. And I'm in church. And it'll do them good, amen? But too many times, parents, grandparents, guardians, we just want to be their friends. Oh, honey, it's okay. You just stay home. It's all right. I don't know what a blessing they're missing. Maybe the message was for them. Every day in America, 2,861 teenagers will drop out of school. Well, that's alarming. Now, surely if you've read in the paper last year or two, you know that that's happening right here in Mitchell County, Avery County. I mean, it's just all too common, and it's almost as if we've grown cold and indifferent to young'uns dropping out of school. Again, what are they going to do with no education? Where are they going to get a job? There ain't no jobs no ways. What are they going to do? See, they don't have a purpose. They don't have a purpose. See, that's what happens when Jesus moves in. Jesus gives us a purpose. Every day in America, 1,629 teenagers are placed in adult jail, not in juvenile, but in adult jail. And is it any wonder that our prison system just here in North Carolina is busting out the seam? And the sad fact is, a lot of them, they don't see any other way out, so they're trying to get in there. They figure it's better in there. At least they'll get three meals. Amen? So they just take their chances inside bars instead of out here in the world. How sad. Okay, now, put your seatbelts on, okay? Because I'm just a little old nobody that God called to preach, and I don't know why, but I'm going to preach what God told me to preach. So put your seatbelts on now. That includes this part too, amen? And hold on. Every day in America, every single day in America, 7,742, listen to me, teenagers become sexually active. Ooh, it got quiet then. Preacher, you can't say that. I just did. I said almost 8,000 teenagers every day in America become sexually active. What happened to being pure and keeping yourself? That's what God intended. Well, it can't be that bad. I'm going to tell you why it can be so bad. Listen, because out of 7,742 that's going to become sexually active every single day, 1,106 of them, the girls are going to become pregnant. Brother White Ray, how about your abortions there? If I could do something about the 1,106 every single day them teenagers becoming pregnant, I could help you out with that abortion thing, I believe. It would never get to that point. And if that weren't bad enough, you hear me, I'm being serious to you. You listen to me. Satan will come in here and he'll say, oh, it's just a joke. Don't listen to that little preacher. He don't know what he's talking about. You hear me. Out of almost 8,000 that become sexually active every single day, 8,219, listen to me, they're going to require, guess what? A sexually transmitted disease. A disease. That's what you're going to get. That's what Satan over here on the sidelines is going to let you end up with. When God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is over here trying to root you on to stay away from that. Hey boys, listen to me. There is not one thing wrong. As a matter of fact, it's noble, very noble, for y'all to keep your purity. That's another lie Satan had had to throw at you. It's always the girls need to keep themselves pure. I submit to you, not every single one of you are to keep yourself pure. Terrorizing statistics. That's what that is. And that's just a half of them. Well, I've just preached a terrible doom and gloom message so far, haven't I? You see, as long as we have breath in us, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ offers us hope. And see, we have choices. We have choices. You always have a choice. Brother Ken and I in our Sunday school class, it always comes down to choices. Amen, don't it, Ken? Always comes down to choices. What kind of choices? What can I do? What can we do? Well, I challenge you, if you've got a child between the ages of 15 and 25, if you've got a grandchild, if you've got a niece or a nephew, or a cousin that's got one, pray. And if you know they're lost, tell them. You say, preacher, they're not going to listen to some old person like me, and I'm calling myself old, not y'all, amen. They're not going to listen to me. There's too big of a generation gap. Well, I'm reminded over there in the book of John where Jesus said He has must needs to go through Samaria, and He had a divine appointment with that woman at the well, and that woman come carrying her water pot. Amen? What about her? What about that woman? When she received that living water, do you know what she did? She left her water pot sitting there. That water pot was very valuable. I can't stress to you how important that water in that pot was. And she met Jesus. She just forgot about that. And she took off and she went back and she said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? That's what she said. And if you'll read on over there, the Bible says that many believed because of her testimony. That's what the Bible says. So it's very imperative that we tell. Why do we tell? Because we can turn the tables on Satan. We can turn the tables. I'm telling you, there is hope. There is hope. God just burdened my heart for these young people. I'm telling you, church, if you don't do nothing else, pray with me. Pray for them. Let me give you a story. Maybe this will encourage you, young people. There was a graduation ceremony. This is a true story that was told by a pastor. And there was a graduation. And graduation ceremony. And it's a cheerleader, and she's popular. Solomon says, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." See, what he's trying to say is now's the time. At y'all's age, this critical age that y'all's in, now's the time for you to remember who your Creator is, who is the author and finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you hear me here now, as you grow older and older, and Satan dangles things in front of you to try to get you to take a bite, as he does that to you, so your heart's going to grow harder and harder and harder. And you won't just get saved whenever you want to, amen? It just don't work that way, y'all. Look in verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." When you see a rose, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? What a beautiful flower. It's attractive. It's got the most wonderful aroma when you smell those, and they last a long time, and they come in different colors. And a rose is just so beautiful. But see, if you're not careful, all you'll see is the rose. You'll never see the thorns that surround the rose. See, that's the way Satan likes to tempt us. He'll show us a rose, but he won't show you the thorns around it. Amen? Remember that now. Just one bite. That's all it takes, is just one bite. Just one bite. Now, God told me to do this. I don't know anyone's heart. This is to everyone. I don't know anyone's heart. But if you can search in your heart and you know that you're not saved, let me tell you something. I've got wonderful news for you tonight. God loves you, each and every one of you, so much that He sent His only Son. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. And He went to a hill called Calvary, and He willingly laid His life down, and they drove nails through His hands and feet, and He shed all His life's blood, and He bore my sins and your sins and the whole sins of the world, that you wouldn't have to go to hell, that you might spend an eternity with Him in heaven. That's the gospel. Jesus, 3 days later, came forth out of that grave alive. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now as I speak to you. And one day, listen to me, one day He's going to take His church home. He's going to take His church home. That, in a nutshell, is the gospel, that Jesus Christ loves you so much that He gave His only, He gave His life. He shed all His life's blood. He loves you that much. You say, "Preacher, what do I got to do?" I have to tell you this, you guys. I have to tell you this. This is my responsibility as a messenger of God to tell you this. There are two choices in eternity. You've got two choices in eternity. You have many choices in life. You've got two in eternity. The two are as simple as heaven and hell. There is no in between. There is no second chances. It is either heaven or it is hell. In your mind, you might be saying right now, I'll wait. I'll wait till I'm older. I'll wait till a more convenient time. I can show you in the book of Acts where one said, I'll wait till a more convenient time. He never had a more convenient time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I can't save you. I can't pour conviction on you for nobody. What I can do is tell you that Jesus loves you and that He wants you to be saved. And that's all I can do, you guys. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you bow your heads with me? Saints of God, you pray. Please pray. If God, through the Holy Ghost, has spoke to your heart tonight about being saved, and ask yourself this question. If we leave this place and you go home tonight and you lay down and rest your head on your pillow, is there a wonder or a doubt of where you'd spend an eternity? There doesn't have to be. God will save you. He will give you assurance and He will give you peace. If there's one in here, young or old, that God spoke to about being saved, I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you from the bottom depths of my heart, I will not embarrass you. If you just slip up your hand, I just want to pray for you. Is there one, young or old? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just bow our heads. Lord, we just thank you, God, for Lord Wednesday night prayer meeting. Thank you for each one of these in attendance. I thank you, God, for these young people. Lord, I don't know the hows, the whens, the wheres, the whats, and I don't know what door you're going to open. But Lord, I believe with all my heart you wouldn't have given me a burden for this generation unless you was going to open a door for me. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me to keep me in the center of your will, that, God, I'd be submissive, that, Lord, I could be an instrument you could use to reach young people, Lord. Lord, it's imperative. I just don't believe people realize the urgency that we've reached these people. Lord, they're going to hell every single day. Lord, help us as a church. The church, save people to reach out into this community, into these schools, and make a difference in hearts and lives. Lord, I pray you'd bless each and every one here. I pray, God, you'd strengthen our pastor as he, Lord, continues revival. Lord, I thank you, God, for salvation. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, that you reached down.